You're listening to COL Movies.
It's a special episode from the cutting room floor.
Steve here with another episode from the cutting room floor. In this episode, I get to share my experience attending the Spooky Empire Ultimate Horror Convention in Orlando on Saturday, October 8th. Spooky Empire is a horror con like no other, with writers, actors, vendors, and a film festival that any horror fan would love. This year's event had several special features, like a reunion from the cast of Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Q&As with all the leather faces from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series, a child actor panel with the likes of memorable children like Butch Patrick from The Munsters, Kyra Schoen from Night of the Living Dead, Alex Vincent from Child's Play, Miko Hughes from Pet Sematary, and Harvey Stevens, better known as Damien from The Omen. There were also some major players in the horror scene, like Clive Barker, who also brought along Doug Bradley, a.k.a. Pinhead from Hellraiser, Tony Todd, the Candyman, as well as there was Malcolm McDowell, Barry Bostwick, and Lance Henriksen. If you don't know who they are, look them up on IMDb, you will know. Also, television was represented by Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery from The Walking Dead, as well as Kristen Bauer and Mariana Claveno and Sam Trammell from True Blood. And I'll tell you that Kristen was so nice, and she was also gorgeous and had amazing hair. Sorry, had a gay moment there. But there were also tons of character actors, and some of the best creature actors like Derek Mears and Brian Steele, who were both Predators, by the way. And many actors you'll remember seeing, like Michael Berryman. He's always that creepy-looking guy that's been in a lot of movies. Barbara Crampton. And also Jake Busey, who was also in The Frighteners, one of the movies that we've reviewed. Taps was also represented by Steve Gonsalves and Dave Tango. And yes, Steve is, cute. Outside of established folks, there was also a film festival called the Freak Show Horror Film Festival, where I had the chance to see some great up-and-coming filmmakers show off some of their stuff. I got to see three movies, which were under an hour each. One especially that came to my attention was called Play Dead, that was by some movie makers out of Miami, and they were all young guys. The story was about pets of people who had either been killed or became zombies during a zombie apocalypse. It was completely unique, funny, and gross all at the same time. It even had one of the most original zombies I'd ever seen. One that got attacked while she was walking her dog and wound up being dragged around by her dog on the leash while she was a zombie. I'll put the trailer on our website so you have a chance to look for it if it comes to a film festival near you, along with the trailers of some of the other ones that I had a chance to see. But while all this was going on, there were also some sessions throughout the day, from Q&As with actors to workshops on how to make horror movies, as well as a wide range of topics. One of the most interesting ones that I attended was on pop culture and horror movies, and how, you know, some of that has led to rumors of curses, hauntings, and bad luck on certain movies and movie sets. One that we talked about specifically was the Superman curse, where it's believed that the original author wasn't paid what he felt what he was worth, and so he decided that he put a hex on the entire series. And since he did that hex, and most everyone who's donned the S across their chest has met an early demise. And if you look back, you'll notice that. We also talked about the Poltergeist curse, where it's rumored that Heather O'Rourke's ghost haunts the set, and the truth was actually revealed that the skeletons that pop out of the unfinished pool in the first movie were real skeletons, absolutely real, because it was cheaper than using fake ones. Who knew? We also talked about the curse rumored around the James Dean car, and how all the owners had met an early demise, as well as people who actually used to take the car around to be seen by others even died. Who knew? And then also, one of the craziest ones was that 91 cast and crew on the film The Conqueror, including its star John Wayne, all died of cancer. The director, Howard Hughes, actually filmed the movie in an area of Mexico where nuclear testing went on, and even took some of the sand back to the soundstage to shoot scenes back in L.A. And, you know, that's one hell of a story. But for more about these things, you can also check out a website called paranormalpopculture.com, and I'll also put a link on our website. While I was there, I had the chance to meet with many amazing people. Shook hands with most, but Some of them were real douchebags, you know, just out to make money off their 15 minutes of fame, but others were actually really amazing. I was able to get short interviews with five people that I think you'll recognize. And believe me, getting the chance to talk with them and having them take the time out, you know, when it's a crazy convention like this, was really an experience of a lifetime. I'm such a sucker and starstruck, you know, I just loved it. So, kicking off the interviews, we'll go back to the earliest, Kyra Schoen. While many of you might not know her name, you can't forget her face because it's been used as the calling card for George Romero's masterpiece, Night of the Living Dead, you know, which set off the zombie craze back in 1968. She played the iconic zombie girl with the trowel, so you'll recognize it once you've seen it if you haven't. Kyra was amazing to give me some of her time and to talk about her experience as the zombie girl, and so here it goes.
Here I'm here with Kyra Schoen from Night of the Living Dead, one of the scariest child probably in the movie. You know, but tell us a little bit, what's it like being associated with such an iconic film at all?
It's pretty amazing. You know, and it was so long ago that I did this role. It was 40 some years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, seeing that my face has been used as almost like the logo for the film. It's like I see it everywhere, and I kind of disassociate myself from it because I see that as someone else, not as myself. But it's like
role versus it's you, so you don't feel like it's you when you see the picture.
Yeah, and it's almost like it wasn't even my role because it was so long ago.
Yeah, yeah. How is it when you see the movies that have kind of been generated from this movie? How do you feel about the ones that are being made now compared to your experience back then?
Well, I think that Night of the Living Dead was like, it was a groundbreaking film, and I think that a lot of the movies that have since been made, like the zombie movies particularly, haven't captured the tension that the original had.
Absolutely.
There are really very few zombie movies that I really like, but the ones that I love are like Shaun of the Dead.
Oh yeah.
And Fido. I think Fido is my favorite zombie movie. Because they're so different from Night of the Living Dead. It's like they're not trying to imitate it. Even Shaun of the Dead, even though you know there were so many inside jokes. They were just different. They stood on their own. It didn't seem like they were just kind of, you know, standing on the shoulders of something that had come before.
Very true. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Staying in the child actor vein, I also had the chance to speak with Alex Vincent, who's better known as Andy from Child's Play 1 and 2. Or if you don't remember the name of the movie, you'll definitely remember Chucky, the doll that, you know, tried to kill everybody. Alex was actually really super cool and down to earth, not to mention, you know, a bit of a cutie. But here's what he had to say.
I'm here with Alex Vincent, better known as Andy from the Child's Play movies. So what's it like being a cultural icon, you know, when it comes to this? And I know that's a weird question to ask.
So a weird way of putting it.
Yeah, maybe, exactly.
Perhaps.
But you are.
Well, the truth of it is, you know, of all the different projects that I could have gotten in the short period of time that I was an actor as a kid, I was incredibly fortunate to be in a film in the horror genre. You know, horror and sci-fi really continue to attract such a cult following years and years to come. And to meet people that are appreciative of something I did when I was a kid, you know, it's 24 years later, it's still very, very cool. So.
Does it even feel like it's 24 years ago, though, with the way it keeps, it keeps resurfacing, you know, all the time?
Yeah, but it also feels like my whole lifetime ago that happened.
That's
so
true.
It does feel like, you know, my whole life has passed since those days. So it feels like a long time to me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah.
Rounding out the child actors, I got the chance to meet with Miko Hughes, who was better known as Gage from Stephen King's Pet Sematary. He was the young boy who was hit by the Mack truck and then brought back to life to wreak havoc. Again, he's totally someone who has his head on straight, even though he was, you know, signing pictures of him as a child standing in front of a Mack truck 5 feet away from him. You know, but hey, he's got to eat, right? But he's actually been in a lot of things, so if you IMDb him, you'll see. But here's what he had to say.
Alright, this is Steve here, and I'm with Miko Hughes, better known as the little boy from Pet Sematary. I can't remember the character's name, but it doesn't matter, because everybody knows the little boy from Pet Sematary. Yes, the one who got hit by the truck and then was reanimated. Looks exactly the same, by the way, in case you're wondering. Just a little older, but you can totally see it's him.
So what is it like being known as this iconic child from the horror movies?
It's surreal, man. I would have never thought, 20-some years later it would bring me to conventions like this and, still be connecting with fans. And it's a great opportunity. I love it. It's been a blessing.
Now, because you still look very similar in the face, a lot of people change.
Sure,
but I still see the
people catching. I don't think I do,
thank you. You don't think so?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's cool. Yeah.
No, it's like as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, holy crap, it's him.
Nice, yeah.
But do people recognize you these days?
It's random. Sometimes, like if something plays on cable that I've done that week, I may get recognized a little more than otherwise.
Yeah.
Something like Kindergarten Cop or whatever plays, then someone will say something. But it's random. Yeah.
That's right. Were you boys have a penis, girls have a vagina?
Yeah.
I thought so. I was like, wait a second. I know that.
Yeah.
Well, one other quick question I had was, when you were doing all of this as a young actor, did you actually realize what you were doing? Can you recall? Just kind of putting you through the motions?
I'm sure in the earliest roles, like Pet Sematary, I probably knew loosely what was going on. I didn't know the details, the full scope of it wasn't fully understood, but I knew that we were playing pretends, I didn't necessarily know it was for a movie, that it was going to be cut together and everything, but I think I got lucky. I was really able to take direction well, so
great.
Worked out.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Yeah.
And did you realize he was the boy from Kindergarten Cop? I totally forgot until he mentioned it. Classic. Off recorder, Miko and I actually talked about some of the new projects he's doing, including starring in an upcoming feature for the Chiller Network. He's going to be playing a survivor of a zombie apocalypse based on the graphic novel called Remains. It's the first movie actually being made by the network, so he was super excited to get the word out. And it wasn't like one of those things like he was just trying to pump it. He actually was just really cool about this project and really excited about it. So if you get a chance to get Chiller, or if you have it on your cable, be on the lookout and definitely support this super cool guy. And then staying in the classic movie genre, I got to actually meet Gunnar Hansen, better known as the original Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Even though he may be older, this is a beast of a man. Although he looks a little more like Santa Claus than someone who might be wielding a chainsaw at you, something tells me he would have no problem doing it if he needed to. He definitely knew what he was doing. I got the chance to talk to him about being known as Leatherface, as well as to ask him the one question that's always been on the mind of many of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre fans. So here you go.
Steve here with Gunnar Hansen from, better known as Leatherface. Couple questions for you, just real quick. How is it actually being known as Leatherface? How does it feel to you?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be known for something like that. So, I really appreciate that people, all these years later, still love the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And do they recognize you wherever you go these days?
No, people generally, at a convention people know me, but otherwise on the street they don't. People occasionally recognize my name.
Okay.
So sometimes, I'll be buying something and, be at a store and I'll read it on my card or something.
One question we've always wondered, is it really a true story?
No.
No? Okay. We've always wondered that. So thanks for clearing that up. Appreciate it.
So there you go. That's the truth right out of Leatherface's mouth. So hopefully that ends all the debate out there for you people. In my last interview, I got a chance to talk with the best known and perhaps the most intimidating of all the Jasons from the Friday the 13th series, Kane Hodder. I'm going to call him Mr. Hodder because I will not use his first name because we were not that familiar, and this was a top leather daddy, sir, if I ever met one. And not that I meet many, but you know what I mean. Anywho, but let's just say he was in control of this situation from the jump. However, he was nice enough to give me a few seconds of time, and I actually told him that we had a chance to review the movie Jason X for the show, and he was actually willing to give me no more than 30 seconds, although I was actually able to sneak in like 45, so here we go.
Hey, this is Steve. I'm here with Kane Hodder from Jason fame. So Just tell me a little bit about, we just reviewed Jason X. Was that a fun film to be on?
Well, it was fun, of course. I was a little hesitant with the Jason in space aspect at the beginning, but I figured I'll just make Jason the same as he always is, brutal and unforgiving, and I had a great time shooting it. It was the longest shoot on a Jason movie that I ever did, and it was really quite a fun time, and the most comfortable Jason outfit I've ever worn.
Oh, yeah? Which one, the Uber Jason or the
No, the original.
Jason? The original?
Uber wasn't very comfortable.
Uber wasn't very comfortable? Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Talk about an amazing day. I'm so glad I could bring this to everybody back at COL Movies. Besides the links on our main site, I'll also link some pictures I took onto the COL Movies Facebook page. If you have a chance to attend any of the Spooky Empire events, you have to go, especially if you're a horror fan. There's actually going to be another one in Orlando called Mayhem in May 2012, so if you're a horror fan, you'll definitely want to make the trek or consider it. And heck, let me know if you'll be there and we can hang out. So do you think you have any good ideas for cuts? Or do you think you have any comments you want to express about what you heard today? Feel free to contact us at colmovies.com or email us at colmovies@gmail.com or give us a call and we'll be glad to put you on one of the shows on our Google Voice line at 361-265-8255 or 361-COL-TALK. You can also Twitter us at twitter.com/COLmovies or on Facebook at facebook.com/COLmovies or hook us up on iTunes or in the Zune Marketplace. So look for us. Catch our show weekly. Usually come out on Thursday nights or Fridays. And we look forward to hearing from you. All right. Talk to you later. That's From the Cut.
Hasta la vista, baby.
End of line.